cari amici, oggi mi ritrovo qui davanti a voi per manifestare la mia preoccupazione riguardo il futuro del nostro uccello nazionale, la passera italiana. Fino a non molto tempo fa potevamo osservare questo volatile un po' ovunque. Il suo magnifico canto iniziava la vita dei villaggi e delle città del nostro paese. La passera italiana è un uccello che sfoggia una sostanziale normalità, non ostentata, ma nemmeno particolarmente modesta, questo nostro piccolo, ordinario amico, è di cuore grande e di animo aperto. Negli anni 90, purtroppo, nelle nostre terre dimoravano decine di milioni di coppie di passeri italiani. Il loro numero, purtroppo, è andato scortigliandosi in maniera allarmante. Secondo le stime attuali, nel nostro paese vivono soltanto da 5 a 10 milioni di coppie di passeri. A questo preoccupante decremento ornitologico hanno contribuito, tra le altre cose, la carenza di cibo, la perdita degli ambienti naturali e soprattutto l'inasprimento della competizione con le altre specie. Ogni anno decine di milioni di uccelli migratori si affollano nel nostro paese. Non penso di esagerare se parlo di una vera e propria invasione. Sono quasi 300 specie diverse, molte provenienti dall'Africa. Arrivano qui per godere del clima, del cibo, di luoghi di nidificazione migliori, mettono su famiglia e competono con la passera italiana per le nostre scarse risorse naturali. La situazione ormai è insostenibile. Questa inondazione di forestieri rischia di portare la passera italiana all'estinzione. Gli uccelli migratori vengono qui a far pancare, a sconvolgere l'ordine delle cose, oltre che a sottrarre il cibo dal becco della nostra passera. Osservate i nidi degli uccelli migratori, guardate cosa mangiano, dove dormono, come urinano dappertutto. E che dire del loro strano, grottesco, serpeggiare, il modo in cui si lisciano il piumaggio nei luoghi pubblici. Se oggi andiamo a Prato, non mi troveremo nemmeno un passero italiano. Se andiamo alla stazione ferroviaria di Pisa, anche lì nulla. Andiamo di città in città, di villaggio in villaggio, tendiamo l'orecchio alla ricerca del magnifico verso della passera italiana e sentiremo soltanto una cacofonia innaturale di cinquetti strappalati.
In the early stage, I was sending some sketch to Riikka, or some artist, and then I was like, oh, what's it in Italian? Because I knew the bird already. Then I googled it very fast, and I found this. Only the first thing was the feminine for the bird, and I sent Riikka this sketch, and she started laughing, and I was, what's so funny? And you know, there's this double meaning. And I was like, perfect. Because if you want to make a movement like this, that's how to get everybody behind it. From left and right, everybody wants to join.
For the passera italiana.
So how long it took to translate it, and how long you studied?
I was going through YouTube,
okay.
listening to speeches of, you know, Salvini, Di Maio, and Meloni, the worst stuff. And I was kind of taking bits and pieces from here and there, quotes, and then turning it into something. Then I wrote the speech, and then I gave it to a translator who translates literature and poetry from Finnish to Italian. So I knew that this is like a, because you need, of course, a really good translator for such a thing, because the original text was kind of quite a poetic one, so it's not like a. This is not like a very kind of direct political agenda, but it has some kind of, you know, strange nuances. I found the actor through a friend of mine who lives in Helsinki.
Okay.
So a Roman guy who used to study with him years ago, and so it was another coincidence. But he's acting mostly in theater.
Yes.
In some movies, but mostly in theater. And it was also like the translator, he also like immediately got the idea, so which is important.
It's perfect.
You go, okay, yes, I can do this. I can live this. This is hilarious. So all the Italian people I showed the text in the first place were kind of really encouraging. It was like, yes,
I know what you're talking about. So,
because of course this was kind of a mystery, because I was writing the speech in Finnish after watching some YouTube videos of Italian politicians. So I was, it was kind of mystery, like, will it work? I mean, how does it, you know, fit the actual Italian, you know, mentality?
Yeah, also the gestures that the actor does. Yeah. It's pretty...
We're pretty amazed because you really got the Italian feeling of the text. So when Rivka told us, Vainio told us that you wrote the text, then it was translated. But you did write it just from watching videos, and we were actually amazed.
It's also a kind of advantage of an outsider to kind of look at things and make interpretations. And also like a strange kind of interpretations. Not because I don't know the logic behind anything, so I can just... Sometimes it works better for an outsider to do something like make a kind of collage, make it in a funny order.
Well, because you observe without emotions.
And without information, and without kind of... Also, I don't have any idea, like, what you can... I don't have the cultural kind of... I was kind of working on it. I was making the sketch when I heard about the double meaning. But then I wrote the speech knowing that... You know,
okay.
But I didn't change anything. It was like a... In original text, I had only like a passero italiano. But then I told the actor to kind of slip some passeras also in the performance. So it's like a bit like almost accidental. So like, actually, I'm only talking about the passera.
And how did the people react? Because it was made in Piazza del Popolo, the performance.
There was not that many people on the piazza then, so.
Okay.
It was like, and we didn't have any microphones or anything.
Okay.
So it
was, but that square actually has a very good acoustic if you stand in a certain point,
But there was also like musicians playing horrible music at the same time.
Okay. And I read that you did it in Vienna before this performance.
No, I didn't do the performance. This project, kind of this bird song project, started in Vienna like a year ago. It was for an international group exhibition there, created by Başak Şenova, the Turkish curator. And there I was reading some news about the Austrian Prime Minister Sebastian Kurz. He was trying to push a law that all immigrants entering Austria should take the German language test. And if they fail, they will be cut half of the social security money. So, of course, this was like a big, you know, hello. And it didn't go through because there was major constitutional problems, of course. But it was such a kind of crazy idea that I took his speech, like, almost like word to word, and just change the immigrant into a migratory bird. So that's when it started. But this is, of course, this is happening in many all Western European countries. The same kind of rhetorics, same crazy ideas about controlling. Maybe a bit Italian politicians, they have more theatrical, you know, somehow output compared to Finnish or Nordic countries. Like Nordic countries may like seem like a bit milder, but still underneath the agendas are the same. So, and the rhetorics. Also in Finland, somebody has, you know, suggested that we should somehow give some kind of like marks to immigrants. So they should wear some kind of thing. You know.
Like the Jewish people.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, are you completely crazy? And of course they are, but there are still always some people who are like, actually that could be a good idea.
Yeah, because you have to recognize immediately.
Yeah. So
also the video editing. The editing of the video works pretty good.
It's a friend of mine who has, I have been working with many projects. He's a professional, you know, because he, it was a very bit difficult for him because we I wanted to have very crappy video shooting of the birds in Rome, so it was difficult first to make a crappy video because he's such a, you know, professional, always does like perfect. It's supposed to be like idiots making a campaign and also like a video.
But still it's sexual, because even without Salvini, the laws that were made before with immigrants are still strict. You know, like children born in Italy don't have Italian nationality, so if they don't have one Italian parent. So even if they don't speak speak only Italian, they grow up in Italy, when they're 18, the state says, okay, you're not Italian, go away. So it's a problem, right? Huh?
It's not like Salvini left and everything changed.
Salvini, no, Salvini, no, of course not. He didn't change nothing, actually.
And he also didn't invent everything.
No.
So it's like frightening to look at his performances, because you kind of just get this feeling that he's a nice guy from his presence. Like if you look at this, you know, how he deals with people, how he takes everybody. It's scary stuff.
That's just the fact. Yeah, you didn't get the Italian language, but you got the feeling of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes there was also like subtitles in some YouTube videos, so I got the message. But it's kind of easy once if you hear one speech, it's like repeating always the same.
Yeah, and actually he changed a lot of parties, political parties, so he isn't even coherent in his ideas.
But the whole thing is that you don't. Kind of, it's also like what they are, kind of the, what they claim as the strength of the populist movement, that they don't follow anything, but they can always go whenever, you know, which is of course like kind of insane if you think about it for a minute. It's like it doesn't make any sense.
People feel allowed to do and to say something that wasn't that they had already inside them, and that's.
It's like, now you have your 10 minutes to be very, very naughty.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
But he really, you know, it's the problem of role models too. So when a politician that is a prime minister says something, he allows everybody to do the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a problem, because we see it in, you know, everyday life. We really see that.
And once a leader says that there are no more rules.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like... basically like humanity, like how we developed from the ancient Roman type into these democracies. It's because we were strict about following certain rules and also social codes and something like this. And some, all of a sudden somebody says like, well, we can forget about the rules because they don't let us do what we want. And then, of course, people basically don't know what they want. Because that's not something that you kind of think about every day, like what I want. You just go through your daily business and try to survive and be nice. But then it's like somebody says, like, now you can do what you want, and so what should we do? So then, well, I have plenty of ideas for you. And that's how it goes. These parties, they are promising like this short-term,
exactly,
kind
like
of return.
You got it. Yeah.
It's like the quartal business world. That
yes.
Now we make. Now tomorrow we give you a banana and don't think about the day after or something. It's like and they make it like sound so good that. And they also they provide the enemy something else to blame. So it's not your fault, it's somebody else's fault, and we give you everything. And if we don't succeed, if we don't succeed in giving you everything, it's somebody else's fault. It's a very simple formula, and it's like we the people are kind of course we want to be comfortable, and we don't want to be bothered too much.
Yeah.
So it's like if something sounds simple, it's like I have heard about this kind of thing happening in Italy.
But people are in danger every day because they didn't.
Also like my grandparents lived in Italy for a long period of their life. They were like my father was a scientist and researcher, and he worked in, as a part of this research group in the 70s when they were doing the survey of the Cucidam Mediterranea in south of Salerno. They were like researching this heart and coronary diseases. So they lived for a long time there in the south Italy, which is also, of course, the area of this, you know, different mafia.
Yeah.
So they have to always know, like, deal with certain people. And they found quite a lot because he was kind of a, of course, as an outsider, he didn't belong to any of the, so he got information from and here and there, and he heard about this road construction projects, that there was some, like, somebody, you know, who was close to, you know, right people got the job to make a new road. So they made it very, very thin, the asphalt. So they have to fix it, like, after 1 month. But it's, I mean, it's not an, of course, it's not an exclusively an Italian thing, but to hear these things, of course, in Italy, because you have the most famous, like, organized crime organizations. Yes. I also heard a theory that in the last election, he got a lot of votes from, like a rural southern Italy, which is not his area at all, that he has bought the whole villages from mafia to vote him.
Of course. Yes.
There's a percentage.
There's a percentage of voters that are going, that are managed by the mafia. They're going there. Whatever the mafia wants, it could be Salvini, Cinque Stelle, or
the Democratic Party. When they tried, you know, to pass new laws to reconstruct the Genova's bridge, actually they passed how do you say even it in English? When you make legal some illegal construction in Ischia,
like condoning
like
stuff.
Island, like,
yeah.
So what it has to do with Genova? It's just, you know, some mafia construction that was illegal. Now they're legal. Thank you.
Yeah.
and they got votes. So,
well,
that's a reality.
It's so nice weather.
It's so
warm. Let's talk about the weather.
Let's talk about the wine.
Thank you again for your time. We really appreciate the video and your work. And your
thank you.
La mia preoccupazione riguardo il futuro del nostro uccello nazionale, la passera italiana. Fino a non molto tempo fa potevamo osservare questo volatile un po' ovunque. Il suo magnifico canto iniziava la vita dei villaggi e delle città del nostro paese. La passera italiana è un uccello che sfoggia una sostanziale normalità, non ostentata, ma nemmeno particolarmente modesti, questo nostro piccolo, ordinario amico, è di cuore grande e di animo aperto. Negli anni 90, purtroppo, nelle nostre terre dimoravano decine di milioni di cocche di passeri italiani. Il loro numero, purtroppo, è andato scortigliandosi in maniera allarmante. Secondo le stime attuali, nel nostro paese vivono soltanto da 5 a 10 milioni di cocche di passeri. A questo preoccupante decremento ornitologico hanno contribuito, tra le altre cose, la carenza di cibo, la perdita degli ambienti naturali e soprattutto l'inasprimento della competizione con le altre specie. Ogni anno decine di milioni di uccelli migratori si affondano nel nostro paese. Non penso di esagerare se parlo di una vera e propria invasione. Sono quasi 300 specie diverse, molte provenienti dall'Africa. Arrivano qui per godere del clima, del cibo, di luoghi di nidificazione migliori, mettono su famiglia e competono con la passera italiana per le nostre scarse risorse naturali. La situazione ormai è insostenibile. Questa inondazione di forestieri rischia di portare la passera italiana all'estinzione. Gli uccelli migratori vengono qui a far mancare, a sconvolgere l'ordine delle cose, oltre che a sottrarre il cibo dal becco la nostra passera. Osservate i nidi degli uccelli migratori, guardate cosa mangiano, dove dormono, come urinano dappertutto. E che dire, vengono strani, grotteschi, serpentari, il modo in cui si lisciano il piumaggio nei luoghi pubblici. Se oggi andiamo a Prato, non mi troveremo nemmeno un passo italiano. Se andiamo alla stazione ferroviaria di Pisa, anche lì nulla. Andiamo di città in città, di villaggio in villaggio, tendiamo l'orecchio alla ricerca del magnifico verso della pastiera italiana e sentiremo soltanto una cacofonia innaturale di cinquecenti strappalati. Ogni santa ricetta da parte del mondo, la cicogna bianca, il mignattaio, la spalla, il felicotto, il debito, il falco, lo smerito, il lorraio, la manuncella, il frullino, il gabbiano corallino, il mignattino piombato, il barbagiano, il picchio verde, il cormorano, il tarabuti, il piccolo tarabutino. Come lo spaventoso gracidio dell'adultera di Babilonia. Come può il nostro coraggioso uccello madre nidificare in santa pace in questa consaglia di lingue e culture? Come può covare tranquillo in una tale confusione balaonda mentre queste creature alate, allottone, gracchiano, gridano, stridono, vivono? Coprendo un cinquecchio familiare, classico e limpido della passera italiana. E che fine farà la passera, minuta di infuriare dell'influenza maglia portata nel nostro paese dai volatili stranieri? Non ci sarebbe più alcuna speranza per i nostri passi. Ora, qualcuno probabilmente dirà che bisogna essere tolleranti di accogliere ogni specie, che la diversità è arricchimento, ma riflettete, dico io, ma vogliamo forse dare spiegazione da persino a quel maledetto pinguino imperatore, lasciandole diffondere le sue naseanti usanze artiche e chissà qual malattia, lasciare che riempia il nostro spiaggio con le sue colonie lamentose, o che si nutra del pesce nel nostro mare, intorbidendolo con le sue deiezioni. Immaginate, milioni di imponenti pinguini imperatori senza scrupoli sulle spiagge, nei campi, nei boschi. Quanti pinguini imperatori ci stanno sotto le ali di un passero italiano? Quanti? E dice ancora, un passero italiano può mai defecare sulla statua di Vittorio Emanuele II o nella fontana del Trevi? Sono altri volati, come loro pucci, dei parassiti mari che mi si bagnano e mi compiono dissontezza della fattispecie di uccelli migratori. Cari amici, guardatemi. E questa è l'Italia che abbiamo costruito per la passera italiana. Il nostro uccello nazionale davvero merita tutto questo? Mi sembra che vedere gli avvoltoi volteggiare su questo mondezzaio che prima dovevamo chiamare impero della passera italiana. La nostra misura inizia a essere colma, o meglio, la misura della passera inizia a essere colma. Nel nostro amato paese non c'è semplicemente spazio per un tale disordine naturale. È tempo di agire, di riscattare le nostre terre, restituirle al nostro valoroso uccello nazionale. In virtù di ciò chiediamo quanto sempre. Tutti gli uccelli migratori che arrivano in Italia dovranno imparare a entrare il campo della passera italiana. Per stabilirsi in Italia ogni uccello dovrà cantare come una passera nostrana. Ciò significa che chi non supera l'esame di passera non verrà riconosciuto il suo diritto alla nidificazione sul territorio dello Stato italiano. Proponiamo quanto segue. Ogni uccello migratorio che arriva al nostro paese verrà detenuto al confine schedato per poi essere sottoposto all'esame canoro di passera italiana. Chi lo supera sarà libero di continuare il viaggio verso il sito di nidificazione crescente, mentre quelli bocciati saranno rinchiusi in speciali centri di addestramento al canto in modo da imparare il verso della passera italiana. Una volta capaci di padroneggiarla potranno continuare il loro viaggio, altrimenti saranno solo autorizzati a tornare a casa loro. Certo, siamo pronti ad accogliere quei volatili sfortunati costretti a mercanteggiare la propria vita per fuggire alle condizioni intollerabili dei loro paesi di origine, poverini. Ma anche loro devono rispettare la nostra cultura e i nostri costumi, soprattutto imparare il canto del nostro uccello nazionale, altrimenti tornino pure da dove sono venuti. E prima lo fanno, meglio è. sufficiente di firme, sottoporremo questa iniziativa civica agli organi legislativi competenti. Vi ringrazio. Il passero italiano e la passera italiana prima di tutto. L'Italia appartiene alla passera italiana. Un solo cielo, un solo canto, una sola identità.